I always say, how's it going? And I'm always like, I wonder if he'll answer me.
Welcome to 20-somethings with Attitudes, a PowerPod Ranger cast, the podcast where we watch old episodes of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and hold it up to scrutiny it in no way was intending. Forming in the head, I am your host, Andrew, and bursting from a volcano to form my chest plate is Seth.
How's it going?
Our third co-host, Joe, couldn't be here because he tried to do a handstand on a counter and fell into a cake. This week, we watch Episode 5 of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, A Different Drum, which premiered September 10th, 1993. Summary of the episode off of Wikipedia is Kimberly teaches a dance class at the juice bar. Melissa, a young girl who cannot hear Kimberly's commands, starts to run into the other girls. Embarrassed because of her impaired hearing, Melissa leaves the group. Rita decides that music is the perfect way to conquer the Rangers. She summons Gnarly Gnome, a garden gnome with a magical accordion, and sends him, this is so fucking dumb, and sends him to Earth. Gnarly Gnome music hypnotizes some of the girls from the dancing class, and they are lured to a cave. Thankfully, Melissa is unaffected by the spell and rushes to tell Kimberly and the other teens and leads them to the cave. The girls are rescued, and the Rangers confront the overgrown garden ornament.
Is that really in the...
Yep. I don't flower this shit up. Once you said read it off of Wikipedia, I was like, fuck it.
This is a rough one.
This was the worst episode so
and
far.
We're
only five episodes in, but I can't imagine.
This is the worst episode anything could ever have.
The pacing was off. Everything was bad.
I said last episode that I wish there was more, like, community involvement with the Power Rangers. I wish they did things...
Oh, here you go.
And I was so excited when they're like, hey, we're going to capture kids. And I was like, that's what they do all the time in the Japanese version. And I was just let down and beat up. And, what a rough episode. It was, like you said, it was paced horribly.
Horribly. Even the Japanese clips were super abbreviated because they were really honestly only in the last 5 minutes of the episode.
There was a point where I literally wrote down, I have no idea what's going on.
I almost tuned out. Like, I forgot to write notes for a while because I was just like, nothing is happening.
I didn't forget. Nothing happened.
Normally, I'm like pausing every couple seconds to scribble something down, even if it's just a weird aside. But this time, I had nothing for the longest.
Nothing happened. And I even said that in the first one, and I have to apologize to the first episode because a ton of stuff happened. But in this one, they literally could have just put that, you know, standby, we're having technical difficulties, and it would have accomplished the same thing.
So it starts off at Ernie's, what is it, juice bar?
Juice bar, gymboree,
so
dance studio.
I wanted to say this because I thought it before and never really mentioned it. That sign is so obviously just taped on. They just found some rando gym and then just taped this cardboard sign on there. It doesn't look like it belongs there. It looks like it's about a second from falling off.
This episode is so bad.
And so we start at Ernie's juice bar, and Kimberly is teaching a dance class, which at first looked like aerobics because they had those stepping stool things.
It looks like aerobics or like the Billy Blanks dance aerobic stuff.
Hey, can I ask you a secret? Can Billy do fucking anything?
Can you ask a secret?
It was a quote from something else. Can Billy do anything?
He can make
anything at all.
He can make electronics and basically break into Zordon's headquarters.
He can't speak. And
so
I mean, at the end he dances, but at this, like, he can barely walk.
So, okay. Before we start, Kimberly has a line that is essentially, and it's terrible foreshadowing because I know it's coming because I too read a synopsis before I watched, and you just read it to anybody listening, but there's a point when Kimberly goes, I can't hear you. And I don't know if that was just some writer not understanding what they were doing, realizing that a hearing impaired child was going to be a center point in the episode, or if it was just like, hey guys, look how clever I am, and they all laughed, and then they just forgot to take it out of the script.
I didn't notice. What I did notice is, for an episode about another girl being deaf, Kimberly is completely oblivious to the mass panic happening behind her back when she's facing the wall. Like, people are screaming, and Billy is screaming because he trips. Ernie comes by and starts dancing like an idiot, and then Billy trips onto his...
Well, he has a cart full of towels.
Yeah, and Billy trips onto the cart. Well, he trips on the stepping block and falls onto the cart, and then just goes careening out of control. And somehow the cart
he
is turning.
He rolls around for minutes.
Forever. And
here's the thing. For an episode where nothing happens, they spend way too long on Billy careening through this juice bar on a cart
with
from
people,
room to room.
With people losing their minds like he is on fire. But Kimberly never notices, and Zach is sitting at the bar loving it. Like, he is just... He thinks Billy's pain is a riot. Like, when Billy crashes in the hallway and then somehow turns around and is still careening out of control, Zach thinks it's hysterical. His friend, his fellow teammate, is in trouble, and Zach thinks it's a scream.
It went on way too long. That's all I have to say about it. And that's basically all I'll have to say about anything in this episode, is that it went on too long.
When he finally does crash, Kimberly walks over, and because I was so concerned about how Zach... Trini was kind of laughing too, but she looked a little concerned, but Zach was loving it.
Was Trini in this episode?
She was standing on the sides.
She did nothing.
She did translate Billy at one point when he said he can't dance because he says, like, I'd like the auditory stimulation, but I can't, my
I
motor
can't
functions.
Physical movement.
And then she's like, he says it's hard to dance because she translates everything he says. Kimberly goes over to him when he crashes, and I was like, good. Someone is showing concern for their fallen teammate. And then she goes over and says, Billy, this is not how you pick up girls, or something like that. And I was like, Kimberly, don't be a bitch. What is wrong with you?
Going back to Zach, and we mentioned this before, he is still wearing everybody's colors.
Yeah. And he's also wearing a tie-dye knit cap. A Rastafarian knit cap on his head.
He was basically the Megazord in this episode because every sleeve of his was a different color.
I know.
So we jump to one of those Rita scenes, which are getting really weird, because they just kind of cut, and then cut back, and then cut back.
Can I say real quick? The only through line through all of Rita's plans is that she has ADD. Whatever she sees, she immediately goes, that's what our monster will be. And what...
How about she goes, I hate kids' music. I hate kids' music.
And then she decides...
Let's use a music monster. And I wrote... What?
Well, and then she goes over, this, they cut back, but we'll just do her scene all in one go. She goes over to Finster, and Finster says he has created a monster that eats cars and smells like a fish, which sounds like a pretty decent monster. Smells like a fish isn't really going to do much, but it's going to at least be obnoxious. He eats cars. And then later on he says, wouldn't you rather have something that breathes fire? And then she throws a tantrum like a 3-year-old who can't have a Snickers bar while waiting in the line at Giant Eagle.
All because she wants this awful music monster. Because
that
she
doesn't
hates
do
kids.
Anything. It's going to kidnap the kids, which will lure the Power Rangers. But granted, the second you throw a monster down, the Power Rangers come. So what difference does it make? And I thought when he kept saying, like, your dance, when he was hypnotizing the kids and he said, you're dancing with putties now, but soon you'll be dancing with Power Rangers. I thought he was going to hypnotize some of the Power Rangers and they would fight each other. And that would at least be something. But no, the most he does is play his accordion and everyone clutches their helmet.
How about when Rita's like, I want a music plan, and Squat and Babu, or like one of them, I think it was Babu, goes, ooh, that sounds risky. What? Everything in this episode was just baffling.
Also, I just, for the first time, noticed Rita's ridiculous Madonna cone bra. I never noticed it before.
That's because you had nothing else to focus on in this episode.
Oh, my God. So, it's so bad.
I can't get it out of my head.
So, we cut back to the kids, and is Billy the only guy dancing in that group?
I don't know. I wrote down Jacob's tank top, which is really low cut. These are the notes of mine. Jason has a really low tank top, and he's just apparently wearing a cash.
So we're introduced to the deaf girl when she lightly nudges another girl while they're dancing, and this girl reacts like it was Billy careening into her on that cart. Like, she loses her mind. And all she did, she barely even bumped into her. She's just kind of there. And then, then runs off.
Melissa runs off, and then what happens?
Oh,
Kimberly leaves. She's like, okay, everybody, take five. He goes to talk to her.
Oh, yeah, and so that's when we learn that she's deaf. And she has a hearing aid, but according to the plot of this episode, she is completely 100% deaf. So I don't understand. The hearing aid is just like a visual aid for us to know immediately that she's deaf.
Well, can she hear?
No, I would assume not. She couldn't, she didn't know, well, maybe she could hear the music. Well, no, because if she could, I was thinking maybe she could hear, kind of like understand the music, like hear it slightly when they were dancing. But then she would have been able to hear the accordion and it would have affected her. So I would
think
that for the plot of the episode to work, she has to be completely 100% deaf.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So she actually doesn't hear the girl yell at her. She's just like, this girl is mad at me.
This girl is, yeah.
What is this girl's problem? I nudged her, sorry.
Also, what is Billy even wearing?
He is wearing the weirdest overalls.
He looks like he's about to go...
Pants, not quite shorts.
They're not even quite overalls. It's just like this sleeveless, baggy jumpsuit. He looks like he's about to go painting.
It's so weird. This episode is so bad.
Oh, man. So,
I literally just watched this, and I have nothing to say. I can't even remember. I am so glad you wrote more than I wrote more down than I did, because I have no idea what's happening next. I'm waiting to get to a point where I can just sit down and go, explain it to me. This makes no sense.
For majority of the episode, like I was just sitting there, I just started writing plot points, because I was like, maybe I'll come up with a joke then. Because so, nothing was happening. So Bulk shows up.
Hold on.
Yeah?
We have been saying so many times, well, I guess not so many times. You mentioned in the last episode that, hey, the human stuff is at least not stock footage, and that's all plot.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly do not care about any of the human stuff.
Ever?
I don't want to say ever.
Well, I guess I don't genuinely find it interesting or anything.
And I don't know if it was just, like, the fact that this horribly boring episode finally made me be like, I don't care. I just want to see Rangers sword fight things and giant things blow up and spark, or if that's actually how I feel about each episode. But I just, I don't know. I'm interested in seeing sparks like some six-year-old again. But when it comes to the human plot movement, I just, it's all going to be dumb. And I know it's not, I'm not the target audience anymore. There's no inherent value for it for me anymore.
I only look forward to it and because that is where the variation occurs.
And I don't know if it's just because, like I said, this episode hit me horribly wrong and I just couldn't handle any of it. And I was like, well, at least I know I'll like the fighting stuff. Or if it's actually how I feel about each episode.
So Bulk shows up, and when he does...
Oh, yeah, there's Bulk stuff.
He says something dumb.
He dances with Zach.
Well, before that, he says something dumb when he shows up, and everyone turns and looks at him, and the girl who lost her mind because the deaf girl lightly grazed her stops dancing and stares at him while everyone else spins around. Like, they're all spinning.
I noticed that, too.
Bulk says something, like, he's teasing the girls for dancing, and Jason, or Zach, says something about, like, I bet you couldn't dance. And so he tries to do the same move they do. And he does, like, step, step, kick, and then he kicks the chair out from under Jason. I actually laughed really hard at that. I thought that was pretty funny.
It was a good Bulk moment.
So Zach challenges him to, like, this weird dance-off because Zach's the dancer on the group.
And that's been established before.
The first couple moves that Bulk does, he's not bad. He's not as good as Zach, but he's, for a dude his size and shape.
He was doing it. He was fine.
He keeps up pretty well. It's not until he tries to do a split or something and tears his pants again, two episodes in a row.
Yeah, I was like, is this going to be a recurring thing?
And then, also, when Zach challenges him to a dance, he moves like a marionette. It's really bizarre.
It's called a robot.
No, but he's not dancing yet. He just, like, wiggles his arms when he challenges him. It's weird. But after Bulk rips his pants and essentially loses the dance off,
Zach keeps going.
Zach continues to go, don't showboat, Zach. These kids are jerks. We said that last episode, too.
They have attitude.
These kids are really kind of assholes. And Zach continues to harass and tease Bulk, and then he challenges him to do a handstand on the counter, which for some reason Bulk thinks he's able to accomplish, because Bulk believes in himself.
Hey, he did 1,009 bench presses.
He believes he can take that record back, and the Rangers try and crush his dream. For all intents and purposes, Bulk is the hero of this show.
They just don't understand him.
All they gotta do is
find out.
All they gotta do is let him in, and he'll open up. But he tries to do a handstand and immediately face plants into, I guess we had a debate about this. I think it's a cake.
I thought it was yogurt. Either way, there was a hot dog on the counter too, I thought.
And then Zach continues to tease him about that.
Everybody does. Everybody laughs at him.
And then he'll just pimp away. And then nothing happens. The girl that yelled at the deaf, that, what's her name, Melissa?
Melissa. They make up.
They make up, and then they're hanging out.
It's like, hey, there's a sale at the mall. Let's go.
A generic sale at the mall, because it's the 90s.
There's a sale at the mall. Let's go.
And
a store. What are we buying? There's just a sale at the mall. The whole mall is on sale. But,
Does Ernie high-five kids as they leave?
Ernie high-fives everybody as they leave. And he says, catch you on the flip side, I thought.
Yeah. And as they walk out, the gnome, which, as soon as Spinster made him, he immediately just popped onto Earth. With Bones, he popped out in the hideout, but in this one, he immediately just kind of falls to Earth. There's, like, a cut from him, like, popping.
There's a billion cuts.
There's so many.
They all suck.
So he's at Ernie's bar, or juice bar, and Jim...
This episode. So he's playing music.
So he's,
and all the girls except for Melissa
are hypnotized.
Hear it and are transformed into the rats and the Pied Piper.
So they're not.
Melissa's like, what's going on? And he leads them to a cave. And there's putties just bounding to and fro in the opening to this cave. Because that's what putties do.
The putty. Yeah, the putties just start wiggling in front of this cave.
They are bounding.
And then, so he leads the girls into the cave.
Like they're in the open part of a flowered meadow.
And he leads these girls into the cave, and immediately as Melissa tries to follow them, a rope net falls down, and rope nets always baffle me on TV. Whenever someone gets one thrown on them.
Honestly stopping?
Whenever someone gets a net thrown on them, they're immediately incapacitated forever. And with this, it falls down, and she looks at it like steel bars just slam shut.
Well, to be fair, that was the sound. Oh, wait.
Oh, God. So
she comes back to the juice bar.
And Jason's sitting at the juice bar, and she tries to tell him what's wrong by signing, and Jason can't understand her, and Jason reacts like she's Lassie.
How about Jason goes, I think something's the matter.
I think she's trying to tell us something, he says to Ernie. And then he goes, what is it? What's wrong? Come on, girl. What is it? All the girls fell at the mall? There's a sale at the mall? Let's go.
Sale at the mall.
Oh, God.
So she writes it down.
So she writes it down.
Like, all right, let's go save your friends. And...
Well, before that, we cut back to the gnome.
The gnome. Who is... Everybody's dancing.
Are dancing like lunatics around him while he sits at a table.
Squat and Babu are making dinner.
Apparently Babu's secret ingredient is bouncing rubber balls.
So, okay, this is where I chime in the whole of our episode and start saying, what's going on? What? So they're making dinner, and then at one point the gnarly gnome has finished eating, and then at one point he's sleeping, and then Rita yells at him, and then he's putting on his boots, and then somebody's invisible.
He turns invisible, and then he
And then Babu's like, you can't get away that easy. And then Charlie Nelson puts on his boots. And he's like, I'm leaving now. And then he leaves. And at one point I thought the kids were leaving, but that was just the Power Rangers coming in.
Oh, God.
What happened? Okay, so what happens in that whole scene?
So let's try and break this down.
There's a ton of weird pacing. There's a ton of weird cuts.
Okay, so let's try and break this down as I remember it. So the girls are dancing in a circle, which basically means they're just shifting to and fro while throwing one leg up after the other and just
with
in
putty.
A circle.
Putties are doing the same thing.
But the putties aren't there yet. The gnome orders the putties to go dance with them, so the putties walk over, shifting their shoulders. It is the perviest, creepiest thing I have ever seen. They just slowly and shiftly slink over to these girls dancing in a circle, and then they start dancing with them.
Have happened when I wrote, what is going on?
It is the most uncomfortable thing. And so they're eating, and
we don't see them eat yet. Everybody's yelling at Babu to make dinner. And then Squat eats a bug that he wrapped as a present to himself.
It's just a typical centipede, but he was apparently saving it for a special occasion in a box.
And he wrapped it. He didn't say it was for somebody else. He said, I was saving this for a special occasion. I don't know. Maybe he was giving it to Babu. But Babu's making dinner.
And then he said, I'm going to add my secret ingredient, which is, it looks like bouncing rubber balls.
It looks like bouncing rubber balls.
It's never referred to. It's never, he just dumps it on the food that he's already making.
It's just something that happened in the episode because they realized that this episode was freaking 5 minutes long. So then it makes this really weird cut to the Nelly Gnome be like, I'm full.
Uh-huh. And then
he's like, I'm going to take a nap. And he like collapses. He's sitting in a chair and you just see like the camera is on his feet and his feet just kind of like go limp.
And both Squat and Babu are asleep too.
Are they? I missed that.
Yeah, all three of them are asleep, and then Rita sees this, yells at him, he immediately jumps up, turns invisible, and tries to leave, and you see his footprints just appearing in the sand.
Why is he trying to leave?
And then they go, and then Babu or Squat or one of them says, you can't get away that easily, and then he turns around, and then he's back in the chair again, not invisible,
putting on his boots. Why is he leaving?
But he already had boots on in the first place, he's just wearing bigger, fluffier boots now. Over typical boots.
Why was he trying to escape?
I don't know.
How come he never turns invisible ever again?
I don't know.
And I guess at the beginning of the episode, there was a thing when they're like, oh, the music plan is risky. And then and Rita's like, make me a music monster. And Finster's like, oh, they don't listen well. So he was just like, whoop, I'm done. I'm done.
And the whole reason Rita loses her mind is because the Rangers are already there. They're like approaching the cave.
Well, Melissa leads him there, and then Kimberly is like,
go
all right, go hide. And then she turns around, and Kimberly goes, go up behind the bushes, hurry. And I specifically wrote this down, because I was like, she can't hear you.
Well, and
her back is turned.
Then they immediately morph. She is deaf, not blind.
Yeah, but she's hiding in the bushes, not looking.
But you'd think she would see that the kids have disappeared in five color-coded Rangers that match their clothing.
Except for Zach.
Except for Zach, who is all the
he could be any of them. The gnarly gnome appears outside the cave.
Real quick, when they morph, Kimberly is gray for some reason.
Yeah, there's a couple points where she is gray.
She's gray later in when they're in the Zord too.
Something must have happened to the footage. That's on the Power Rangers wiki too, as a note.
But yeah, she was gray because I actually had to rewind to double check that. So they fight him and they immediately pull out their power weapons.
And they call him names.
Yeah.
Did they call him names before?
I don't think so. So
I remember her being like dino daggers.
Did you see when Zach chops at him and jumps in the air? The pose he does?
Wait, which time? Because he does it, they reuse that footage like 12 times.
I don't know. He does like a split in the air and then throws the axe between his legs.
Every time anybody swipes at him, it's just the same footage. Because I noticed that. Because there was nothing else to notice. Because this episode was originally 5 minutes long, and then they had to pad it out somehow.
I'm almost to the end of my notes here.
I am too. So they form the weapons. They combine them.
They combine the weapons and immediately blast the shit out of the gnome, which, why don't they do that typically?
Well,
and then
I just want to mention, I should have mentioned this when they first got their weapons, because that's when it first happened. It is very goofy how they all huddle around the weapon as fire.
I think I said it when they did it.
That's a very, like, cliche thing to do in the genre, so it works, but how goofy.
Wait, so they blast them to rubble, and then Rita goes, you didn't think you could kill him that easily, and then immediately throws her scepter down, and then he grows. So are they invincible until they grow big? Can she just automatically bring him back? Because if so, why didn't she bring back the Mighty Minotaur when they blast the shit out of him with their power weapons when he was tiny?
I think the Gnarly Gnome is just a one-of-a-kind monster that she needs to use. I mean, he's perfect. He's great. He does what she needs him to do. He is a monster well worth saving, revitalizing.
Why can't she just bring back Bones?
And then he has a rake when he's big.
He has a rake, which I didn't notice until the Megazord stole it from him.
I noticed it way before that, but how about he just has a giant rake?
Also, so like I said last episode, when they all jump in their Zords and sound off, I eagerly await Kimberly's line. This time, I actually didn't mind it.
It was stupid. It was nothing. At least she made puns before. Let's jinx the Sphinx while stupid in a pun works.
I liked this one where she just says, I love this part. It's so...
It might have been tainted by the episode, which was in itself dumb.
It was just so passive and I don't know.
It felt like a line that the script writers were like, we know this is our weak episode. There's no saving it now.
Also, so when they're all in the Megazord, they turn into the tank, fire at them, and then they turn into the Megazord. Also, the Megazord speaks again.
How about
robot voice?
I do want to mention, I crack up every time they go from the tank to the Megazord, and it's that footage of them looking at the skyline. Like, it's behind all the Rangers' heads, like, we are in the Megazord tank, and it's just, like, 5 seconds of them slowly rising up.
I guess I know what you're talking about, but I guess I never really made much note of it.
It cracks me up every time because it feels so out of place. Well, yes, that is what's happening. We never get a seat in the cockpit like that.
So when they're the Megazord and stomp around fighting this thing, I just kept thinking, they better be really careful not to step on Melissa. She's like right over there.
She's deaf. She knows where she is. She knows what's going on.
She's deaf. She can't hear the giant. If she couldn't see them transform into Rangers, she couldn't hear the giant robots fighting over her. Apparently no one sees the giant robots because it's the one thing nobody mentions. Ever.
Nobody ever mentions them. I think it's because they're all transported to Japan when it happens. So they get the sword. They don't have to pick it up because it just goes in their hand. They're getting better at catching it.
No, before they get the sword, he does like this weird thing where he wiggles his hands and then immediately his accordion appears in his hands. And he starts playing it, and the Rangers all start clutching their heads, and the Megazord starts freaking out. Because apparently when they stop touching the controls, the Megazord doesn't know what to do and just spazzes. But they start hallucinating, and they start seeing – they were originally in like a desert area.
And then they start seeing buildings.
Then they start seeing buildings, and I was like, what is going on? And then they see him charge at them as a building, and all I can think is, oh no, a walking building.
Well, then he does it a second time, and he's like a boulder.
He's a boulder, but it's not like they can't avoid him. It's still a gigantic building charging right at your face. It's not like you can't put two and two together. Nothing made sense.
So they hit him with the sword. He flies back, explodes like Sphinx. It didn't help save the episode. And then the last thing I have is Zach talks the Rangers up when everyone's saved, and they're like, the Power Rangers are here, and we're doing sweet. And Zach's like, yeah, the Power Rangers are really cool.
They don't even explain where they went. Because they explain, the girls say, what happened? And they go step by step from, you left Ernie's.
The Power Rangers saved the day.
Well, no, they go step by step. You left Ernie's, a gnome played an accordion and hypnotized you, you all went to a cave, Melissa came and got us, and then the Power Rangers saved you. They leave out the part of where did you guys go and how did the Power Rangers show up? And also, why are you wearing the exact same colors as all of them, except for Zach, who's obviously not one of the Rangers because he doesn't match any of their colors, and he's talking them up too much.
And Melissa can't tell anybody because nobody knows sign language. It's brilliant.
And then at the end, Jason tells her that
his dog smells. And everyone laughs at him because he's a failure at not only bench pressing for the record, but learning sign language.
He better work hard to learn sign language or else everyone will think he's a quitter.
How about after he says his dog smells, he's like, sign language is easier than it seems or something. It's easier to learn than you think. I don't know. I didn't write it down. I was done at that point.
I was done when they started fighting the gnome and I realized nothing was happening. It was just clips of things.
And then Melissa tells Billy she wants to dance with him and Billy's like, no. And then Billy like flips around and does break dances into the thing where you hold your head up. And
in his weird blue overalls.
And then they freeze frame. And that was the episode.
Oh my God. That episode was bad. So bad.
Nothing happened. We need to do two put-ups. I honestly have no idea what they'll be.
I know, and I'm...
We didn't get anything, at least before, like, we had a normally, cool one-on-one fight.
There well, was... I was going to say, normally, the Japanese... As much as I look forward to... I always worry about the Japanese footage, and I look forward to the rain to the kids, just because it's some kind of semblance of a plot, and the Ranger footage is usually just things happening.
Yeah.
Normally, the footage is still fun to watch. This was even the Ranger footage was completely incomprehensible. It was just things.
It was all so dumb. I mean, even the Ranger footage was all just reused in the same very episode. Like I said, when they're all jumping at the gnarly gnome with their weapons, it's the same thing. They just do it twice. They just show it twice. Oh. The gnome design was bad. Rita should feel bad. The whole episode was a mess. From beginning to end.
I can't imagine it getting worse.
It felt like it went super fast, which I guess would be that's my put up. That's both of them.
I was going to say, here.
My first one is it went really fast, and my second one is it went really fast.
You got to come up with a second one. I've got one.
I have to come up with a one.
You got to come up with a second put up.
Can we switch it to one put up and like 5 billion put downs?
You already made that joke.
I have 20 put downs.
Come up, think of one. We got to be nice.
Minute one. My second one is minute two. I'm sure you can figure out the rest. I hope there's not a lot of human monster designs.
Yeah, they're bad.
So I like the monstery ones.
So my put up, I had one. I don't remember what it was.
You didn't have one. Don't lie.
I had a put up. I don't remember what the fuck it was. So
my put up was that I put up with it.
My put up is that it at least... probably is it got the worst out of the way. I honestly can't imagine an episode being worse than this.
There are 700 episodes of this show. Do you think that is the absolute worst?
I honestly can't imagine it getting much worse. There might be some that tie, but I honestly think even the bad episodes that normally we would really rag on, I think we're going to have a better appreciation for, simply because this one was so bad and we got it out of the way fast. And the other put-up is, it didn't feel long. I mean, it felt like I was done almost immediately. I guess it did feel like it was taking a while, but once it was over, I was like, well, that didn't feel as long as it... It didn't feel like 20 minutes. I put up...
Weird.
I don't have a put up.
So since I have nothing else, I'm reading up Paul Schreier, who plays Bulk, to see if he did anything after Power Rangers.
I know he did more Power Rangers.
He did more Power Rangers. He is an artist working, and he worked on a comic book called The Red Star. Also, in Wicked Game, he played Mom. He's a fan of Robotech. I, too, am a fan of Robotech, Paul Schreier. He is 43 years old.
My put-up is that... My put-up is Kimberly's line when they were in the Zords. It wasn't great. It wasn't really even worth mentioning, but in an episode so bad, I got a chuckle out of it. And I got a chuckle out of Bulk kicking the chair out from under Jason. But everything else in that episode was absolutely abysmal.
I need to come up with a
put-up.
Yeah. What was yours? I need to come up with two put-ups.
Yeah, you do.
So since I didn't say it before, when they all huddle around the weapon, that's a nice Super Sentai trope.
Normally I wouldn't give you that, but because this is an episode with literally nothing.
My second put-up is that I was intrigued by Finster's car-eating, fish-smelling monster.
Goldar didn't even show up in this one.
Nothing showed up in this one.
I wish I didn't show up for this one.
My put-down is everything. Literally everything.
At least next episode you get your buddy Pudgy Pig.
Pudgy Pig is the only monster I... Well, not the only one, but that's the main, like, Monster of the Week monster I remember. And I'm really excited. Plus, he's a giant pig head with the Centurion helmet.
So, that was it for this episode. There's really nothing more to say. It was bad. Next time, we'll be watching Episode 6, Food Fight. And as usual, I watch these on Amazon Instant.
I watched it on Netflix. Sorry, I cashed out of this one as well.
And we don't have a sign-off, and I don't care enough, because this episode was dumb.
I hate the Power Rangers now. If Pudgy Pig didn't happen next, I don't know what I would do. This whole episode is a mess. A mess. This episode fucking blows.